I'm Sarah Wheeler.
And I'm Miranda Rake. And this is Mother Culture, where we explore motherhood through the lens of culture and culture through the lens of motherhood.
Just the two of us. This is my song for today. I am so excited to be here. Our guest today is Miranda Rake, the co-host of the wildly popular podcast Mother Culture. Yeah. Listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm so excited to be here with you.
It's great to be here.
We wanted to do a little check-in, just have an episode, the two of us. We just have so much that we want to get through often in our episodes. And then we have these juicy, juicy guests that we don't want to take time away from. So we have this running list of backlog topics, and today we get to go through them. And I could not be more plussed. Is plussed the opposite of nonplussed?
Maybe.
And does it mean good?
Sure. How about just like amped, you know?
Amped. I think nonplussed is confusing, and it actually doesn't mean not excited. I don't know. Please, somebody write in. I had an argument this weekend about the word nonplussed. Does it mean confused? There's no way to know. I would have to go to the library, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Amped.
I think it means calm. I thought non.
Does it?
Yeah. And also in my head, I always say it plussed, which is not right.
You think, is it plussed? What? How else could you say it?
Okay, so I have to do a plus. I have to do a thing on Pinterest for a thing, and I don't usually do that. And I was telling David today that whenever
I'm sorry, you can't get away with this. A thing like you're being—is it like a dare? Someone dared you to make a Pinterest board?
Someone is helping me solve the problem of my bedroom, and they want me to make a board of things I like, and so
like, do you sleep in it? Do you? Is it for bathing?
Like, it's a weird layout and it doesn't make a lot of sense, and they're gonna help me think about the puzzle. They were like, what do you like? And I was like, I don't know. So
I do like a Pinterest board. I'm not hating on Pinterest boards. It's pretty relaxing. I feel very nonplussed and calm when I make a Pinterest board.
It does feel like a fun assignment. But I was telling David, like, every time I hear the word Pinterest, my brain makes a little joke and it says Pinterest. Because when Pinterest first came around, people in my life mispronounced it Pinterest. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why my brain does that. It's like every single time. Like, you just said it like two times. And my brain was like Pinterest.
Funny mistake.
Pinterest.
So people just had like such difficulty merging those two words. It was before Brangelina. And all the Benefers. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, we didn't used to just smush words together so fluidly.
Right.
If you're under 35 and you're listening, welcome. And this is a PSA from older millennials. We didn't used to smush words.
Right.
And it was hard.
It's a struggle.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pinterest.
Now I hope it'll happen to you. I think it'll be like Pinterest.
That I will get dared to make a Pinterest board.
No, that your brain will make the little joke for you. A little chuckle.
It will now.
Like a little personal chuckle, you know.
I like things like that where you have some association that's really silly.
Anyway.
Well, what is going on with you, friend? What's up for you today?
I was thinking we should ask each other where our kids are.
Oh,
if we want to.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. Miranda, who's caring for your kids?
Griffin's at school, which is
yay,
super
not sick.
Great. And
job, immune system.
Yeah, not too sick to go to school. And
a little sick.
Like, you know, runny nose. Okay. And Nellie is with Darla, our wonderful nanny babysitter, whatever
yay,
you call
Darla.
It.
I got to meet Darla a few weeks ago, and I can confirm that she's wonderful.
This is
I wanted to take her home with me.
We should talk about our gathering.
We did have an IRL meetup. Mm-hmm. It was our second.
It was great. I'm still processing it. It was such a lovely day together. We have kids who are about the same age. They spent time together. One of my favorite moments was laying on the ground of the playground together.
Oh yeah. We were playing with our kids, and then I think we were doing one of those like phones where like one end is on one end of the playground and it uses science to make you able to hear it even if you whisper. Yeah. And then we
Magic.
just yeah, my daughter said I said, "Tell me a secret," into the phone. And then my secret to you was that I think Hawaii is overrated as a vacation destination. And then later, like a few days
Still
later, my daughter
processing
just said to
some
me, "Mom, you really killed Miranda with that Hawaii thing."
She's right. I think I had
So
blocked
that's what bowled
that.
you over. That's what pushed you
Well,
over,
you know
that you got
that
to look at the sky.
we can circle back to this with my 40th birthday conversation later, but
Yes.
Hawaii is relevant to that. But
I'm so sorry I nagged on Hawaii.
I want to hear more
But
about
also not.
how do
I don't know.
why?
I've only
What's
been there once. I just like Mexico. I'm always like, why aren't we going to Mexico? And it's always, that's where I always want to be.
But can
And
you
there's so much
swim
of it.
in the
Oh yeah.
ocean in
Oh
Mexico?
yeah.
What
Definitely.
is the good swimming beach in Mexico?
Well, I mean, all on the eastern side and the Caribbean, it's real oochie goochie. But you know, I mean, it's a little more wild on the Pacific side, and that you know you get like crazy waves, but then you can do like water sports.
True.
I'm not like a big swimmer. I like to be beach adjacent, you know? I like to be on a beach, but not like really engaging with the natural offerings.
That's fair. I get kind of scared in the ocean, but I like it. I want to be in
Yeah,
it.
that's why it's
And then
awesome.
I sort of start thinking about
It's the
sharks and
pull.
I sort of
Yeah.
like talk myself down and it's, I don't know
I just
why.
suck at swimming. Wait, I didn't get to say where my kids are. It's
Tell
not
me where
interesting,
your kids
actually.
are.
They're just at school. They go to their local neighborhood public school. And yeah, I didn't yell at them m very much this morning, so that was good. And it's a big day in our house. It's the first day of the NBA playoffs, so it's the play-in today, which is a kind of somewhat recent, complicated way that they make the playoffs last even longer. But it like this is the launching of a really important season in our family.
Do you
The
all like
season,
it? You are all into
yeah,
this.
we are all into it, and we just have the TV on for like months. We basically get to be like an 80s family or whatever, you know, where the TV's just like, or like your grandparents, where the TV's on in the background all the time playing games. And it's really fun.
And you all like just kind of. I have never watched sports. Like neither of my parents.
The
Well, that's not
sports.
entirely true. Like
You've never seen a sport?
David and I had a brief period before kids when we would tune into like World Cup or like Euro Cup, and kind of half-assedly root for
That's the singing competition, right?
this is soccer. This
I
would
know. I
be
don't know anything about soccer. Sorry.
it's the only one I've ever kind of enjoyed because it doesn't really stop. Like so for
Yeah.
like 90 minutes they just go, 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 go. And then also the dramatics of the World Cup like sort of were fun. Like, the Italians like really are sort of melodramatic when they get injured or and that's kind of their strategy and then you can see that the Dutch are like rolling their eyes and it's just kind of funny. I think it's a humorous but anyway but
Yeah,
I'm
there's a lot to like, a
but
lot
that's
to
all
like
I've
in the
ever
World
watched so I
Cup.
don't really know like are your kids upset that that's on and not it's not like their show? Like I think my kids would be like I want my show but I guess it this is their show.
Yeah, they don't I'm like I don't want to sound sanctimonious. They don't watch a ton. They don't watch like TV every day. So I don't think it would like replace something for them. But they love the commercials so much that I think they get that like warm, gooey feeling of screen time from the commercials, even if they have like varying degrees of interest in the game. They will like call each other like from the other room and be like, "Max, it's the commercials." And then their favorite thing is to like hate on the commercials. I mean, obviously this is just kind of parroting us, but like they'll be like, "We don't need a car. We already have a car. And that car doesn't even go that fast." Or like if there's ever food, they'll be like, "That's not real food, right, Mom? It doesn't look that good in real life." So they do their little, like, whatever, like, media criticism, you know, freshman class. But also, I think they find them very fun.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for that. That will take over the next, like, couple, really, like, almost 2 months for us.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah.
We have so many things to talk about. I feel like the vasectomy story, your recent vasectomy experience.
Yes, my vasectomy.
I am. Yeah.
You want to talk about my vasectomy? It's on the agenda.
I really do. I really want to hear about it. It is a specter, like, in our home.
A specter of the vasectomy specter. There, I did it. I put two words together and it was fine. I don't understand why it's so hard. Vasectomy. Yes, I had a vasectomy last week. I had it through the body of my husband, John. He did give me permission to talk about it on the podcast. Yeah, he's been wanting to have one for a long time. Our oldest kid is turning 6 next week. I'm sorry, our youngest, our baby. And I don't particularly like being on birth control or using condoms. Though it's safe, it's the safe way to do it. Mm-hmm. But it, as a feeling, as a vibe, I don't like condoms. I like what they do for the culture. But yeah, so he's been pushing for a vasectomy, which is nice. I know some people have partners where they're like trying to convince them. He was like super on board. And part of that is that he has this group of friends that throw each other a vasectomy party.
That's nice.
Yeah. So they have like a whole routine. They pick the vasectomized person, friend, up from the hospital after the vasectomy. Because it's just like local anesthesia.
Right.
I thought maybe they like put you under or at least give you like a nice little cocktail. but they don't. It's just local anesthesia. So you're fine. Mm-hmm. And then they take them straight to the bar. And then they like to have a cake. John's cake said Balls Voyage on it.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. And I think at the last party, it said there's no I in vasectomy. Mm-hmm. Which is mm-hmm. really good and true. Mm-hmm. And then they invite all their friends. So it's very fun. I think that was incentivizing for him. And it's also really beautiful. Like I when he was planning the vasectomy and he went to his first vasectomy party, I was thinking about how being in like a body with a uterus and ovaries, I have had, it's not just, you know, a tremendous amount of work to kind of take care of my body and also, you know, family plan within my body, but also that I've had all this like intimacy and connection with other people because of it. You know, it's like my sister taught me how to put in a tampon and, you know, I had these like beautiful rituals around pregnancy and birth. And like, I, you know, took my friend to get her abortion in college. Like these things are like these opportunities for intimacy that a lot of us who identify as women have, and they don't, you know, like he went 20 years of our relationship, of us having sex and trying either to have a baby or not have a baby, not really like participating in that at all, except for condoms. And it's kind of sad in a way. You know, it's like you can be bitter about it, but it's also kind of sad. Like, I feel like he missed out on it. And then, this is the last thing in my vasectomy rant. then I also, something that surprised me was I just felt like it was so touching that he did do this like painful thing with his body for our family. Not that it at all, you know, racked up to the hours that I have, but it was just really moving. It was like, oh yeah, we're both part of this project. And I was also like, oh, that's why he's so obsessed with me. Cause like he saw me put myself through so much crap and like, you know, give birth and stuff. And of course he's like, oh, you're a fucking goddess. But I got a little bit of that with him where I was like, you're so beautiful.
Oh, that's so nice. I feel like that's just lovely. Like, I hadn't thought about it very much. It's like something that after I had Nellie, I think at my 6 week checkup or whatever, my OB
just the you can have sex now checkup.
Yeah, she was just like, "You want me
the
to
one
like
for women?"
I had Paragard. I've always had Paragard, which is like a copper IUD. So like no hormone. And it's pretty low key. It lasts like a decade and stuff for me. It's good. And so there's no real like, I don't think a particular downside. You know, it's not like,
yeah.
I don't know. And it was mainly
it's doing the work for you.
It's doing the work. And she was like, well, you know, she kind of talked me into it. She was like, just like, do this like now, and then you've got a decade and you don't have to deal with it for a decade.
Yeah. My Nexplanon, I had like the Nexplanon implant was expiring. Oh, yeah. So yeah, it was like, I was like, well, let's just wait till, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the thing is like, I don't really feel the time pressure of like, we've got this thing. And, but on the other hand, we're done having kids. So
do you feel, do you feel really clear about that? You sounded clear.
I have to be. I am, because David is absolutely done.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're done. It's yeah, fine. He told me I can have a third kid, and whoever I choose to have that with, it will be him.
That's what you know what I told John? Because I think part of why we took so long is my ambivalence around not having a third child. Mm-hmm. I wrote about this in Romper for my parenting advice column. Mm-hmm. It just, yeah, I mean, I think I knew very clearly that I could not handle another child, but I was still, yeah, it took me a long time to kind of grieve that. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a family with five kids. I'm really close to my brothers and sisters. I just kind of thought I would pop out a bunch of kids. And I think the truth is, sure, that like having kids is kind of different than it was in the 80s and 90s and harder in some ways. And I also just like it, I have a lower threshold than my mom did. I really think like she was she was happy to have more kids and really like was kind of relaxed in parenting in a way that I don't feel. And I'm not trying to criticize myself. I just like, you know, I'm a really sensitive person. I get really dysregulated. I just like another kid would be a really painful thing to bring to myself and the ecosystem that I'm in, but I just couldn't let go of it. And I told John, you can have, I told him, well, I want to have a third kid. I would be pregnant and I would give birth. I had lucky, nice versions of both of those. And, but then you would have to be the mother. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, we're already like very equal parents. I just don't want to like psychologically be the mother for another child. Mm. And he was like, well, that sounds like something we're not going to venture into. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, well, it sounds like you, I mean, I think that I also am at my limit too. Like the two is my max sort of capacity for mothering. Yeah. But I have this, it's right. When you decide you're done, you're saying goodbye to like a version of yourself who had three.
Yeah,
kids.
That's it too. Totally.
Know? And you're, and also it's like, now you're on the crone train, you know, we're just cruising on towards, like you're in a different phase. Like Nellie, when we potty trained her just whatever that was a month ago or something and like got rid of the diaper pail. I mean, we're starting to get rid of things and we're not putting them away. You know, I'm getting rid of them and I will, like, I'm not super nostalgic for the diaper pail, but, you know, it's like, oh,
it's not in some like purgatory of like, will we use this again? It's right. Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on,
gone.
Put and it on, buy nothing.
Yeah. Facebook there's, group. It's like kind of like how you feel after your wedding, you know, like the day after your wedding, when you're like, oh, this thing that I've kind of wondered about my whole life is now behind me. And time only moves as we experience it in like a linear one way. So
right, and like I'm no longer a bride, kind of
right,
in a weird way.
That's done. And that's done yeah, for me. That is not my story yeah, anymore. Like that story has been told in my life. And
yeah, I think it's hard for me to be like, I'm no longer a, like, you know, a lady with a with a cute, I'm no longer like a glowing lady with a cute belly, just like, you know, making the next generation. Yeah.
It's a little bit of an acceptance of getting older, I think. It's too. It's like, I'm not that anymore.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you are going to be, you're going to be 40 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. April 30th is my birthday. Man. And I feel so funny about it because I don't care about turning 40, but I like there's that pressure of the milestone birthday to like do a thing. And people keep asking me what I want to do. And like the answer is, I would like someone to whisk me away to Oahu for like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Is everybody listening?
I mean,
because that's
I have told all the people I can think of. So
why don't you do that?
Could make that
happen. Why don't you be the whisker that you want to be whisked by?
Well.
And it's like buying your own mug, like we talked about a few episodes ago. Why don't you
cash flow? Take yourself? You know, that would be a cash flow question. Okay. So I was just hoping someone would just make it happen somehow. Mm-hmm. But I just think that's not
that golden whisk.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, but other than that.
What about like Palm Springs?
I know. You know, here's what I think I've settled on.
Oregon Coast.
Help me reflect on this. Well, Oregon Coast in April is like.
It's cold.
Yeah. Recipe for rain. And
yeah.
So here's the kind of thing that I think here's where I am with it. I was on the phone with my mom and I was like, you know, I like my life. Like, I really like just a good normal day. Like, nothing makes me happier than, and this no one can give me, is like my kids in a great mood. And I hang with them and it's pleasant.
Totally. Yeah. And they're like helping each other out.
That's,
you know,
the best.
Like, and like, and being like, mom, why do birds like never, you know, why do you think birds have souls or something? And you're like, I don't know. Right. It's so fun to see the world through a child's eyes.
I want that day. And then we like get ice cream and then bedtime is easy and early. And then I just feel great about it. And then I get to relax and I'm thinking about how much I love my life and my kids. And like maybe I read a book or something that is so good and like kind of fall into bed just all happy. So so what I want is the impossible, like to deliver. But also I think I might just try to have a normal day. You know, I made a calendar reminder that just popped up that I set for myself last year, which said in all capitals, don't plan anything on your birthday. What you want is unplanned, as an unplanned day.
Do you do a lot of like year-long calendar reminder? Here's the only one thing like that I do. Halloween costumes. Because every year after Halloween, I'm like, oh, I should have done this. Mm-hmm. And then by like the next September, I've forgotten. So I did put a reminder in my phone, like, you know, 10, 11 months out for like September 2024. That was like, remember that you want to be the girl from Peanuts that has the psychiatry booth with the can where you drop in 5 cents. Yeah, that's, I want to be Lucy and I'm going to make the booth around my body and then people can ask me for psychiatric advice.
I love that.
And put in a nickel. Anyway, that's adorable. Do you do that for other things? These reminders?
No, the other ones are boring. You know, like sign up for summer camps.
Yeah.
Or like Portland Parks.
Yeah, you have to do that in November.
Like get up at 9:30.
Okay, so you want to do nothing. Well, I have
a
suggestion.
A normal day. But like,
can
I
make a suggestion?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. They say that you can have a birthday month, and then when you're having a big birthday, you get a year. So what if for the next year, just at some point during the next year, when you happen to have like all the stars align and you have a day like that, it comes around for me, like I get a few a month, I think, because my kids are a little older. Mm-hmm. You just go, oh, happy birthday.
To,
you know, happy birthday. That was it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love that. I think that's perfect. That's like what I want, you know, and I think it feels very 40 to appreciate a perfect normal day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think so maybe just recognizing that I want that, that is sort of all I want is Like, I just, you're at this point, and I'm at this point in my life where I'm like, if my kids are healthy, you know, I'm talking to my mom on the phone. She's doing well. My dad's fine. You know, like, I kind of just am like, what a gift.
Yeah. If everyone's well and like the weather's okay and we get, there's something yummy. Yeah.
Right.
I agree. So I turned 40 last August.
Right.
And I did feel the pressure was like all from me about like, I want to do something. Cause I do like the day you're describing. Mm-hmm. And I also really like kind of to go all out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the chance to make people go all out with me and like meet me, come to my level.
Yeah.
So I did, I scheduled the big, I had like a dinner with like 12 girlfriends and then I scheduled a big dance party. And then I got this like mysterious like illness a few weeks before I turned 40 that I'm kind of just now coming out of. And it was really bad back then. So I was like basically in bed every day. So I kind of like was like weekend of Bernie propped up for my little dinner party. And I had a glass of wine and a shot glass, you know, just to kind of like participate. And it was really sweet. And my sister suggested I record it like on my phone, the dinner party, because everybody like went around and said something. It was really sweet. And I was so fucking out of it. Mm-hmm. But then I canceled the birthday party. And it was weird, actually, how not disappointed I felt. I think I felt disappointed about what was happening to me and like confused. But I think that is maybe like you're saying about being 40. I was like, well, okay. But I'm not learning from that because I didn't put an alert in my phone for this year. So now I'm like, let's go. I want to do like my 40th birthday a year late in August. And it's going to be even crazier.
Well, see, there's also that, right? Like, I realize how arbitrary this is. And it's like, if this isn't the year that we go to Hawaii and maybe we go to Hawaii for my 41st birthday, like, great. You know, and maybe like it's turning 40 is the year I realize that I'm really desperate for like a true vacation. And then I start like saving and planning and orchestrating that and like allowing that to be a priority.
Yeah, you could do it when you want. I was having this conversation. We were over at a friend's for dinner and he had this the dad had this like gorgeous huge cast iron skillet that he cooked this like beautiful kind of like chicken and vegetables dish in. Mm-hmm. And I was admiring the skillet and my husband John came in and was like, "Oh, will you get me that for my birthday?" And I was just like, "This is hilarious. Like we're all in our 40s. Your birthday's in like 4 months. You could just get your, this is like an $80 skillet. I mean, it's not nothing, but you could make a different choice about something else and choose to get this, but we're still saying like, will you maybe for my birthday?" And it is like this way that we, I mean, sometimes you really have to save up for something or, but that we have these kind of arbitrary rules about what we deserve and when. Yeah. It's still like we're a little kid being like, no, you know, only candy on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And how much garbage do I buy for my kids? And how much do I, like, I have signed Griffin up for like a few summer camps. None of the super pricey ones, but like, when the price is right.
On summer camp.
There, I just signed him up for one that's $80 for the week.
What? I mean, okay, I think we're going to fly to Portland, do that camp, and make money.
I know, right? It's, I was like,
Is it a city-run one?
Couldn't afford not to. No, it's a running camp, and it's only like 2 hours a day. But it's, I think it's like...
No, that's how they get you.
It is. It's not actually like childcare. It's just run out
and it's running
energy.
So it goes very fast.
Yes. I think it's run by like a shoe store or something. I don't really
know. I'm worried about this camp.
I know it was just so cheap.
Every detail I get makes me more convinced that you didn't get a good deal.
I know.
I think you like have to wear the shoes from the shoe company and they're adult sized. Yeah, and then they use your image without your permission.
Oh, man. We're going to find out.
Yeah, I mean, there's some city camps that are like $250, maybe $150 even a week if you get like several. And then I just saw this camp that's $750. And I just can't.
That's crazy.
I don't want to do that.
No. I I mean, I don't really want to do a super scheduled summer. I've talked, you know, this is a luxury because my job is flexible. But, like, and we have a nanny because of our younger kid. When this is the last summer, though, that we'll have her. So we'll see what happens next
summer. Oh, the nanny's going.
But I think, yeah, because Nellie's going to go to preschool and the fall.
She's going to preschool next year?
I mean, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I hope so. We, yeah.
It's April. What? Tell me more.
Yes. Well,
it's $80 a week.
No, it's free. Hopefully.
It's 2 hours a day.
In Portland.
And they have to sell salon packages on the street.
No, we have, you know, universal free preschool as Ooh. Of recently.
Wait. Let's just moment of silence for universal free.
We should. We should.
Moment of cheering. Good job. That's Portland, the city, or the whole state? So
it's the county, I believe. Now I'm like, oh boy, I should have read up on this. I will share what a layperson knows about free preschool for all, which is that I voted for it, and it's recent, and it is in the process of being implemented. So it is not universal yet. It is, like, in the process. So you apply, so the application, like, just became available, which is a little bit funky because I know that some preschools, like, you would have found out that you got a spot in, like, March and you have to put your deposit down. So, you know, we are playing fast and loose with preschool and we're I didn't do any of that stuff. And I just did this and we're hoping we get a spot.
So when do you find out?
It said by May. Which I'm assuming.
That's very vague.
Yeah, I thought that was like nice, nice.
Really I love my school district, and I'm going to go ahead and say that that's going to mean late May.
Oh, I know. It'll be like the midnight on the
31st. With respect.
First,
yeah, whatever, for all 30. They have to do. Oh, wow. Yeah, we I guess by 2025, which is, oh my, it's next year. Yeah. I have a calendar alert that reminded me that 2025 is next year. And in California, there is, it's free school for all for four-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
Is this preschool at an elementary school site?
So they aren't. No. So.
Or are they like child development centers?
Like, so this is, so what is.
Or a running store. Those are the three options.
These are like real preschools. Like a bunch of these are. Very adorable, you know, fancy, cute Montessori or this or that or in-home. And I think that I don't know.
So there's a variety of, so you kind of have like a voucher, essentially. They contract with these a range of places.
Buy seats. So Free Preschool for All buys the spots.
Oh, and then, that's cool.
Which is pretty cool. And I hope I'm saying that correctly, no one's going to be mad at me.
We all have the internet, but doing our best. Sounds, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. Makes sense to me. And I kind of know that because the place that we're hoping to get a spot is housed at Griffin's Elementary School, but it is not affiliated with Portland Public Schools. It is its own thing. It's a county program. It just happens to be. It wouldn't have to be, but it's a peer preschool program. So kids.
Is it more than 2 hours a day?
Yes, it is. So some of the preschools are like full, like 8 to 6 Monday through Friday. And you list your 6 top choices. Because I don't technically need that full-time care, like I didn't preference those places as I just don't need it. And then I felt kind of guilty. I already feel slightly guilty taking a free preschool spot because I'm like, I'm not the perfect, you know. Anyway,
yeah, don't do that. Get your preschool.
I know. And this pure preschool.
Get your childcare.
That we applied to is like 2 blocks from our house. It's at the school where our son goes already. And then it is historically under enrolled. It's a peer preschool program. So it's like.
What are you saying? You're saying the word peer?
Peer. So what I'm trying to
I thought you were saying pure, like.
Pure. P-E-E-R, peer. So kids who are.
I was thinking, what's a pure preschool? Is like they're,
you're
they're
like,
very.
Oh boy.
It's like Waldorf. No screens or Batman shirts. Very pure.
We don't do
pretend
play.
Okay, what's a peer? There's no adults and the kids just take care of each other?
Yeah, that's why it's free. No. It's. So kids who are developmentally disabled in some way are with peers. And I forget what the ratio is.
Oh, okay. But, like we would call that maybe inclusive or something.
Yeah. Here. I think it's like, it's just what Multnomah County calls it. And they, so they need peers. Nelly would qualify as a
they
peer.
They need neurotypical
exactly.
peers.
And so the teachers have told us that they're always under-enrolled, but now that they're part of Free Preschool for All, that may change. But their hours are shorter. It's not 40 hours a week of care. Yeah. I think it's 4 days a week, and it'll be roughly the same hours.
That's such an awesome experience, though. And that is a really cool, like, effect of the buying spots place, mm-hmm. you know, that now, like, they will probably fill that up with neurotypical kids. And mm-hmm. and there's just a lot. I'm going to get a little educational psychologist for a second.
Yeah.
There is a lot of research that shows that especially in early childhood, like inclusive classrooms like that have tons of benefits for everyone, mm-hmm. For the neurotypical kids, for the disabled kids, for parents, all parents, and teachers, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the level of skill that you have to support, you know, a range of disabled kids is really just good teaching practices. Mm-hmm. So you will probably get teachers who have like a lot of flexibility and creativity and experience. So mm-hmm. that's so exciting.
I'm
excited. I really hope you get a spot.
I'm hoping. It's clearly not like a lottery. You know, I think there's clearly matching involved in this process, which
it sounds complicated. Sounds even when you said like six choices, my brain just was like,
I know. And I think I made this one our first choice. You know, I was very clear as much as I could be within the framework of the application. Like, we really do want this. This is our very first choice. We like are already dropping a kid at this location. Like, we are like, right here. So we'll see. But that's, you know, that's like what my entire life hinges on right now.
Ooh, like, yeah, it is. I mean, there's always like, summer is such an example. Like, there's so many, like, you know, childcare cliffhangers in our lives.
Yeah, it's really kind of wild that it's not, I don't know, that you just do this, I guess. It's not for the full 18 years, but it's until they're, I don't know,
there's always something like, will they get an internship? Will they, you know, will they get into like the program at the high school that mean, yeah, it's maybe it's not about the hours that you're with them or not, but yeah, so many applications to fill out, even, you know, even if you're not resource hoarding. I wanted to ask you, friend, I'm always curious, like, I feel like you're my book friend.
Oh.
And when I was at your house a few weeks ago, I was like, also because you have like more room than I do, you know, so you had like real bookshelves instead of just like stacks and piles. But I was like running my fingers kind of maybe almost sexually over your titles. And I just realized like there are so many books I want to talk to you about and borrow. But have you been reading anything good lately?
Yeah. Well, and you're my book friend, too. I want to say like when you came Thank to my you. House and I was like, I felt like such a... sort of felt like a kid. I was like, look at my books.
Yeah.
Like
you're like, see my room. Come to my room.
And I was know. Like, my version of that with you I was like, that. I want to show you my books.
That's so fun and true. Totally.
Yeah. Okay. I've been dying to tell you. Okay. So I'm reading Claire Dederer's Poser, My Life in 23 Yoga Poses.
Oh, which is a I've only read Monsters by her.
This is a memoir of motherhood.
Oh.
Which is not what it says, you know, like it. Anyway, it's just because I am like 40 and doing a lot of yoga and I have young children.
In 2 weeks.
It's like I've read, like, it's like I wrote this book. It's very disconcerting. Wow. It's almost disconcerting.
Is it new?
Sometimes.
Oh, like you're it's like, did you old. Get into my brain?
Yeah, very much. Did you
incept
my brain?
Me, Claire Dederer?
Even like I'm trying to figure my house out, and she says this thing in it about like women in their 30s fuss about their looks, and women in their 40s like fuss about their houses or something. And I was like, she's just very
or like, apartments.
She sees me too clearly. Yeah. So I'm reading that, which is fun, but and so highly recommend. other than it makes me feel exposed because she's the same as me. But the one that I'm reading that I want to read an excerpt from because I want to see how you brought react.
A show and tell.
This is How to Catch a Mole by Mark Hamer, H-A-M-E-R. I don't know. Wisdom from a Life Lived in Nature. Okay, so the book is, he's a mole catcher. He actually, like.
Talking about, like, the little black animal that's, out of little holes in your backyard.
Cute. Yeah, they have weirdly big hands.
Mm-hmm. There's that German cartoon or something with the mole guy.
What?
I think it's, German.
Okay, well.
Anyway.
I'm going to look it up. Okay, so this guy writes about how to catch moles, but it's also about his life, and philosophy. He's writing it as a kind of an older man reflecting on this whole life, and the catalyst, sort of, if there is one, is that he's spent his whole life catching and killing moles, and he's now doesn't want to kill moles anymore, so he's sort of reflecting on that. But he talks about, there's a chapter called Reproduction. And obviously,
a man with a chapter called Reproduction. I'm already in.
So it's all about how they reproduce. And
I just to clarify, and I know our listeners are wondering this, is this a professional mole catcher or just dude whose backyard is always riddled with moles?
This is his job. This is his job. So apparently,
is this
he lives
in Canada?
No, he lives in Wales. And this is one of those ancient sort of trades where you would down kind of almost mythological kind of ancient wisdom about how the habit you become the mole, and these guys kind of wander the hillsides and they have these secrets of moles, and you need to hire one of these guys to do your deal with your mole
thing. They have a really good union
of secrecy. And anyway, so okay, I've got to read to you about mole moms. Listening. Okay,
I'm crisscross applesauce.
Listen to this. Okay, so they mate. They get
everything mates.
And then the male runs off to look for other mates. When the breeding season is over, all the males return to their solitary lives in their own original tunnel systems. 29 days later. In April or May, the female will give birth to 3 or 4 kits. They are naked, and they will stay in the nest drinking their mother's milk until they start to eat live food. The mother begins to produce testosterone again soon after their birth. Her maternal instincts fade, and in late spring, when the kits are 5 or 6 weeks old, her parenting is done, and she chases the young out of her tunnel system. They wander blindly on the grass for a while looking for food. Most of the young will be eaten by birds at this time.
Wow.
I underlined the whole thing. if you think you are a bad mom.
You also feel this book incepted you and your and you could have written this one? What struck you about that passage, Miranda?
Oh, wow. Just
do you wish you were a mole lady, mom?
I think there was part of me that was that's badass.
Right, taking testosterone shots right after. Yeah.
Yeah. And then then obviously there's this other part of me that was at least I'm not a mole mom. I'm better than that.
At least most of my kids don't get eaten by birds.
Yeah.
I have that going for me. Yeah.
I would never let that happen. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. I love all the the crazy ass child rearing in nature.
Yeah, where you're
And also the fact that a lot of animals' babies just die. I mean, I don't love it. It's sad, but it's it's a really interesting idea that you kind of just make a lot of offspring because you don't expect a lot of them will survive. I mean, I feel that's kind of what people did
until recently.
A couple hundred years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right. Respect for moles. next time I see one creeping out of a little hole, there really is a German cartoon. I'm going to find it and put it in the show notes. Okay. It's this totally insane. I think it's maybe there's not even words. Mm. And it's this mole. It's very fun.
Okay.
And like weird in German.
So
I want to tell you just one thing that I'm reading before we get into last topic, which is that I started reading. Did you ever read the Clementine books when you were a kid?
No.
It's like this series of books about this girl. The author is Penny Packer, which is a great last name. Mm-hmm. And I read them when I was a kid. And then like they've totally, I don't know. I have not seen them around lately. Like they are at the library, but I don't think they've had like, you know, the lasting power of like, you know, a Ramona Quimby. Mm-hmm. But I rediscovered one. I bought one for my daughter and they're just so fun. I forgot that Clementine is basically like my neuro sister, and she's just like a hot ADHD mess of a third grade girl. She cuts off her hair and glues it to her friend's head, and like she's just constantly. She has like all of these like actually I think very beautiful existential riffs about attention. Which I think actually in my studies mirror Freud's view of attention.
Oh, wow.
Which is like that paying attention doesn't mean like to one thing. It means like being kind of open for your mind to wander and take things in all the time. Mm. So she's always talking about how like adults didn't like see this random thing because they weren't paying attention. Ooh. And I appreciate that. So yeah, I'm just loving Clementine.
Are
and
you
I just want to give her a shout out.
Like a kid.
No, I read it. I read it when I'm supposed to be working. No, I read it with my soon to be 6-year-old daughter. And she's super into it.
I was like, it sounds nice to read. I picked up The Secret Garden in a little free library the other day and I really
Does that hold up?
I don't know. I just was like, I kinda wanna read this alone. Like it was like, oh, my kids will like this. And I was like, why am I telling myself like this is for me? I don't even want
Well, maybe to read that's this like going kid. Back to your birthday thing and the like kind of what you can control about your kids' responses. It's like probably what you really want to have is like you want to commune with little Miranda around the Secret Garden, right? You want to like read to her and have like her feelings about it. You don't want to like expose it yet to like whether your kids are like this is boring.
Like it's a weird something book. To you. There's a lot. There's a lot of books and movies from childhood where I'm like, these are meaningful to me, like The Neverending Story, and like, but very strange, and I don't want to sit with you while you watch, you know, our text like die of sadness. Like, that's my thing. That's not your thing.
That's my thing.
You can have your own.
My thing is dying of sadness, especially, or of being exposed on the mole planes. We'll end with like we have a few announcements, right? We have some big news.
This is like a meeting. This feels like a meeting.
Yeah,
like,
that nobody else showed up for. and no one's taking notes. What do you want to share, Miranda, with our listeners?
Our
big announcement. Yeah, our big news.
Yes. So, we are going to change our name. That's our big news.
That's our big news.
So. We will be the same as ever. And
better. I think better.
Yeah,
better.
I think better than ever. Yeah, that's true. It's a little kick in the pants.
I should tell everyone that we did consult a like tarot reader psychic about this what's it called?
Psychic Sister.
Psychic Sister in Portland, which I cannot recommend enough. And she said it's going to be great. Everything's going to be great. And this is actually like better. So. So I can't argue with that. Yeah. I would not argue with her. She was very.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be
scary.
I would not know. Yeah. Why is
so
scary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Changing the name is going to be great.
Yep. So brace yourselves. That's coming soon.
We're going to we talked about like, please just send us in ideas if you have them. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to narrow it down and then post some stuff on Instagram. Do some votes. We're not necessarily going to choose your vote, but we want to hear what you think. Mm-hmm. And then my kids did come up with some ideas. One was Mom Guide. I thought that was bad, but like a very, for a 5-year-old, like a very good concept of like of this. Mm-hmm. Podcast by Moms.
Mm.
And Beef and Broccoli.
I like Beef and Broccoli.
Right?
Are you the
it
beef?
Kind of, and it's whimsical. Oh. I think I have to be the beef.
I think you're the beef.
Yeah. It's I don't know if it's a good thing or
we're
a bad
gonna have
thing,
to go back to the psychic.
I'm not the broccoli.
And ask her who's the beef and who's the broccoli.
Who's the beef? Oh, wise oracle.
Who's the beef?
Take our offering and tell us who among us is the beef. I like beef. It just has like, it's playful.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, what's this about?
Mm-hmm. Everybody likes it, right?
Everybody likes beef and broccoli.
Yeah.
Even vegetarians are like, oh, I mean, respect to beef and broccoli.
Yeah. Soy curls and broccoli over here. But
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Not to gross.
Soy curls.
They're good.
Can they make a new name for that?
They need a new name, but they're really good.
And then we're also going to move to Substack. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We did have a reader who suggested it, mm-hmm. which was the first inkling of an idea. And it's going to be really fun and not change much for anyone, except that you can like converse with us so we can have community conversations. You can know when episodes come out.
Yeah.
And then we'll have like kind of fun goodies for some paid members. And if you're on Patreon now, for our Patreon paid members, we will easily shift you over there. And
we'll talk, we'll be in touch about
that.
And it's like, we're basically in a glass elevator shooting. I'm thinking about the end of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, we're like shooting into space.
Like we're skyrocketing. We're going to get a new name and we're going to be on
Meet
Substack.
Meet some aliens.
And we're going to, woo, like,
yeah,
we're jacked on sugar and we're going into space.
We've had so many soy curls and we're ready to roll. And yeah, and we'll wrap up our season, our first season in the end of June. We have some really exciting things. Our moms are going to come on for Mother's Day.
We're going
to talk about, screen time and boyhood and all sorts of wonderful things. And then take the summer off and come back. So. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited.
We're going to take, July and August.
Is that what you're saying it here? Mm-hmm. Do we know?
Yes,
okay.
I'm saying you it said out it. Loud.
You said it. In California, really August is not the summer, weirdly. It is. Yeah, but I will have a month of school and work where I'm not doing this. I'll be so sad and bug you.
When's
pretty much
the
every
last day of school for you? May?
May 23rd. And then it starts. Oh. August. They just moved it a week later, just now, the start date of next school's year. Oh, so geez. Now we have like another week. So I think it starts on like the 12th of August.
Oh my gracious.
But last year it was like the 7th.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's terrible for you. To me, that's terrible.
I know.
I find that difficult to wrap my brain. Well, here it's raining until July 1st. And so like, if you did that, we would be very sad because August and July are the only like months you can kind of count on some sun. So if they took that away from us, I'd be very mad.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm just mad for no reason. It's fine. Whatever. Summer's arbitrary anyway. Whether now with global warming, it's like, when is the summer? Is it December 18th?
Probably. Probably.
Well, we're grateful for you listening to Mother Culture, to our little check-in today. Oh, we will talk soon, too, about we now have a Night Bitch, the movie release date for, I think it's December 6th. So there's definitely going to be some Night Bitch content coming up on this podcast. And if you haven't read Night Bitch, Rachel Yoder's novel, you haven't read it?
Mm-mm. I know.
Oh, my God.
It's been on my
Everybody.
Shelf.
Get on it. It's on her shelf. I saw it.
I know. I gotta read it.
This has been Mother Culture. And like my mom always said, is it an interest? Mother Culture is produced by Opus Knox Media with music by It's Electric. Follow us on Instagram at Mother Culture Show and find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to feed the all-knowing algorithm by liking, following, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. Thank you. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/motherculturepod, where you can follow us for free or become a paid member for just $5 a month, which honestly doesn't even get you a latte in major American cities these days. You'll support our production and receive some serious perks.